These are forerunners, or actually working towards that. As we call it the bullfrog theory. If you want to cook a frog, you don't want to throw them in hot water. So what you simply do is you throw the frog in cold water and you turn on the heat. And as the water boils, it begins to heat up, the frog kind of sleeps. You know, his nervous system becomes paralyzed, he falls asleep, and then he wakes up cooked. Okay? This is the type of mentality, this is the kind of brainwashing that takes place in the world today. You see? Slowly, oh, homosexuality is not a sin, you know, everything's the same, and now you're a racist. I was invited to speak at Rutgers University, and I was instructed not to say anything about homosexuality because it would be classified as racism. And we are bigots if we say that homosexuality is a sin. There's a homosexual agenda out there right now that they are trying to force these teachings in the elementary schools. They are trying to teach through movie stars, videos, to come in and tell kids that don't listen to your parents because they're bigots, and the cemeteries will take care of that bigotry. Once they die, then homosexuality will fly. So once we die, I guess this is the bullfrog theory. Slowly, we don't put up any resistance, and evil continues. Slowly. And this is the progressive loosening of the devil. Someone will need divine wisdom, by the way, to calculate the number of his name, because we have the mark or the number of his name. The system that will be forced to accept, will it be the mark of the beast, or the number of his name? And that number is 666. In English, we say 666, but in the Greek Bibles, it says 666. And from this, we know that the Antichrist will have a name, and based on that name, the church will be able to tell who that person is. We will be able to figure out the number of his name. Right now we cannot, but when the Antichrist is here, the church will be able to figure out the name, and the number of his name will be 666, and let's see how the church understood it 1800 years ago. Back then, we did not have the Arabic numerical system. It came much later, and it's much better than the Greek or the Latin, obviously. But back in the days of the Gospel, the numerical system was also the alphabet. So if we take the Greek alphabet, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, alpha was 1, beta, 2, gamma, 3rd, until we get to I, which becomes iota, which becomes 10. And then iota alpha becomes 11. Iota beta becomes 12, until we get to 20, and that's K, kappa. When we get to 100, that's P. When we get to 200, it's sigma, and so on and so forth. So the name of the Antichrist will have the numerical equivalent of 666. So let's say that his name was Latinos, and this is what Irenaeus says, because back then also some of the Christians were conjecturing, and I'm giving you these names that they used 1800 years ago. They thought that, well, Rome is the Antichrist. The Romans are the Antichrist because they're killing us. So they thought, and obviously Rome was an Antichrist because they were trying to eliminate Christianity. They were killing the Christians. So he was a forerunner of the Antichrist. So the Christians were thinking, okay, well, they're Latins, and, you know, the word Latinos has this number. So if we take the word Latinos on the very bottom, lambda is a 30, alpha is 1, t is 300, and that adds up to 666. Also, the word Titan, of course today we spell it with an I, T-I-T-A-N, Titan. It was like a semi-god, not quite, it was like an idolatry. It was a demigod, the Titans. So Titan also has that numerical equivalent. And just to, for comparison's sake, we also did the name of Christ, Jesus. And the number comes out to 888. And that's not a coincidence, according to the Church Fathers, because he was circumcised at the eighth day. Also, in the prophecies, it says that on the eighth day, your sacrifice will be acceptable to me. What is the eighth day in Orthodox Christianity? What are the fathers calling the eighth day? Sunday. Sunday is the eighth day. The seventh day is Sabbath, and Sunday is not the first. Sunday is the day after the Sabbath, so it becomes the eighth day. So the eighth day is the day of regeneration, of rebirth. What is the sixth day? The sixth day is the day of men. That's where the number six comes from. On the sixth day, man was created by God. On the sixth day, on the seventh, God rested. So on the sixth day, man was created. On the sixth day, Christ was crucified by men on a Friday. So the six has like a negative connotation. Not that the number itself, you know, the number six, all these numbers, but the idea of that number. It has somewhat of a negative connotation for the Christians. So six represents, when the Bible says it is a number of amen. So six represents the number of amen. 666. By the way, do not be afraid if you, you know, if your address is 666. You know, or if you have, I mean, we have, if we have a 700-page book, we have to use the number 666. There's nothing wrong with that number. There's nothing wrong with that number. You know, we go down the driveways and, you know, we look for license plates, and if we see a six, it's 666. This is phobia, and it's not necessary. There's nothing wrong with the number 666, just a number. This is how the early Christians saw the name of the Antichrist. So based on this now, we can have a plethora of names corresponding to this number, which will make it impossible to conjecture the name of the beast until he's actually here. I was on the internet a couple months ago, and I always get these phone calls from people that say, hey, did you hear this? You know, it's Gates, you know, the computer, owner, billionaire. Yeah, he's the Antichrist. It's going on the internet now that he's the, again, this is, it sounds funny, but what happens is, it's so ridiculous that it belittles, and it makes light of very serious things to the help of the devil. So we will not know the name of the Antichrist until he's actually here, because his coming, the Bible is very clear when it says the man of lawlessness will be revealed. That revealed means that he will be here for 30, 35 years. Actually, he'll probably be around 33 years old, because he wants to copy everything that Christ did. For him to deceive everyone, he wants to copy the entire life of Christ, to even fake a resurrection, that one of the heads was killed, and he will make a delusion that he's resurrecting someone, and people will admire the beast and his power. According to St. Andrew of Caesarea and Hippolytus, the name of the beast was revealed to John, but John was not permitted to make it known to the church, and he did not want to pollute the book of the Revelation with the name of the most rotten seed of the entire creation. That's the reason. In other words, that deserved to be in the Holy Book of God. And that's why St. John silenced the name. We also have some things in the Book of the Revelation. The angel will tell John, this information is for you. Do not write it down in the book. This is only for you. These things you can write. So he instructs him. So he gives him some information that only John would know. And the church fathers, based on that, they theologize and they say it is possible that John knew the name of the Antichrist, but it was not a good idea to reveal it to the church. And wisely so, because none of us will ever name our children with that name. It would be a very hated name for the Christians. And of course, in the plan of God, it was not a good idea to reveal it. But the Antichrist will be revealed. That means that he will be around us. He'll possibly be doing business like anybody else. And one day, he will be revealed. All of a sudden, he'll come out of nowhere, and people will begin to accept his teachings. We have many gurus right now, dozens of them, that come straight out and say, I am Christ. I am the Christ. There were full-page ads years ago by a certain guru named Maitreya. Full-page ads in the biggest cities. I mean, who finances these things? I can't understand. Very expensive. Full-page ads in the most major newspapers of the world. Full-page ads. The Christ is now here. He will appear in a few years. Well, he hasn't appeared, so they will falsify once again. Because again, the Antichrist is not at liberty to do what he wants. He will only be allowed to do what God wants him to do at the specific time that God wants him to do it. That's why we should not despair. As Christians, you know, when we are in the Spirit of God, and we have the Spirit of God, none of these things will faze us. Mention again that the barcodes in Greece, they're raising a great deal of concern, because right now United Europe, of course, is pulling Greece in, and as Greek Orthodox, after 1821, the Christians were given a card when they were born, an identification card, taptotita, identification card, that says on it, Greek Orthodox Christian. And that's it, and it's the date of birth and the city of birth. But right now, because of our modernization and wanting to be involved in the market, there's some very special cards coming out with the barcode on it, with a 666, and the Greeks are revolting for 10 years now. They are threatening the governments, they have rallies over this, and I believe it's very healthy. Even though it may not be the mark in itself, it is good to put up a resistance. It is good to put up a resistance. They are not accepting it. Holy Mountain is not buying it. Also, some of the most faithful metropolitans are not buying this, and you know, they are teaching very strongly on this. There's hundreds of booklets being printed up. In conclusion, Christ is coming back in glory to judge the living and the dead, and at the blink of an eye, at the blink of an eye, all these things will be happening at the same time. In other words, we'll have one universal changing. The changing will be at the blink of an eye, and the church fathers call that time zero. At that point, time as we know it will stop to exist, will cease to exist. So as Christ is coming back, and again, someone was using the scripture, he's coming back in Acts of the Apostles. There's a scripture that's used, and we need to shine a little bit of light on that. When the angels appeared to the 400 or 500, I believe it was about 500 disciples that witnessed the ascension of Christ, witnesses that saw Christ slowly leave the earth. And he was going up very, very slowly, slow motion, so the disciples and all the witnesses would have this lasting, last image of Christ, this picture of Christ slowly rising up in the heaven, blessing the disciples. And the angels say, "Men of Israel, why are you surprised? The same Christ that you see, the same way that he left, he will come back again." I heard some interpretations which we need to clarify. He's not going to come back again to step on the Mount of Olives and to go back to be crucified. Okay? If we're going to say that, well, he's going to come back the same way, he's not going to come back to relive everything that he did. What that means is he's going to come back from the heavens. And this is a great sign for us. Why? When we see that everybody's falling for this Antichrist and everybody's worshiping this man as Christ, where is our sign? Where is our Christ coming from? From the heaven. So we will not be deceived. I don't care what kind of miracles he's doing. Christ is not coming back to do any miracles at all. He's coming back, and he's not coming down to earth. As he's coming down, stars are beginning to fall. Everything's beginning to change at the same time. So if we know all this, we're not going to be deceived. We don't expect to see any miracles from any Christs. We have miracles in the church, by the blessing of the church, our saints, but not somebody saying, you know, that. And Christ says, if somebody tells you there's a Christ out in the desert, don't go to see him. It's a prophecy where we have now gurus out in the desert having ranches, and they're calling themselves Christs. And we have thousands of people that are attracted to them. So he's coming back the same way refers to he's coming from the heavens in the clouds. And the sign of the Son of Man will be evident, and it's quite appropriate. The Holy Cross will shine throughout the whole heavens, the whole sky, the sign of the cross. And he will have, how much time do we have? And the sign of the cross will be shining in the heavens, and he will be coming back with the holes in his hands, the same body, the same. When we read in the book of the Revelation, the slain lamb shows the crucified body of Christ. We will be able to see that body, the one that the nails went in. He will have that body forever. We'll be able to recognize Christ coming through the sky and not on earth. We need to be very, very careful about that. Also, the cloud. What does the cloud have to do anything? It's not a regular rain cloud with droplets in it. The cloud represents the glory of God. And when we're being pulled up, the angels are gathering all the elect from all over, those that are alive, they're going to be gathered by the angels, and little clouds will take him to meet Christ in the air. These little clouds are the glorious limousine service of God to take the elect and escort him through the clouds. That's exactly what it is. Okay. Of course we're alive. Christians never die. When we're talking about death, first death, second death, we have some cassettes on that. When we are referring to death, we're talking about the death of the body. The soul always lives on. When the twinkling of the eye takes place, at the twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet call of God, then we will begin to change. At that point, our body will change to a spiritualized body, but it will be the same body that we have now. God is not going to find us another body from somewhere else. It'll be the same body, and the resurrection of the dead will take place first. The same body that they had, God will recompose, will find, and he knows where the body is, will find it and connect it with the soul. We do not have a human being in the ground. We only have a body. And we do not have human beings in paradise. We only have souls. So at the second coming, the body and the soul will be united once again. And then we'll have the entire human being. So the entire human being will be resurrected or changed. And the entire human being will be taken up with these little clouds, which represent the glory of God, and united to Christ so we can be with Christ forever. So the changing of the body of those alive and the resurrecting of the body for those that are dead. Those that are dead in Christ, those that are not dead in Christ, meaning those that did not live a spiritual life, will not be taken up. This is a special treatment for God's elect. Okay. At the very moment, we'll have the changing or the renewal of the universe. The renewal of the universe. Earth is very sinful. It's full of blood, full of sin. And St. Peter says that the earth and the elements will melt in their heat. They'll melt in your heat. Some people have suggested that maybe the nuclear energy will be unleashed and just somehow change everything. Yes? Okay. What happens to people that are cremated? It all depends. If they were cremated against their will, like St. Polycarp and many of our martyrs, who were the people that were burned because they did not deny their faith, obviously nothing will happen to these people. They're going to be more glorious than the sun. God will find their body and put it together. The earth, the sea will give up its dead. There's some people that were traveling by sea and somehow the boat capsized and they became lunch for fish. So these people are not lost. God knows where they are, okay, and he will reconnect their bodies and unite them with the soul. Again, we mentioned a lot of things here today, but we need to keep in mind, and I touched that on the last comment, that we need to be aware of the spirit of the Antichrist, and also that Christ is coming all the time, and he can come for us any minute. He can come like a thief in the night. because we don't know. We don't have a contract with God. We don't know how long we're going to live. So we always need to be prepared. And in preparing, how to prepare in these times, again, the Lord shall guard all those who love him. Psalm 144, 20. So if we are with the Lord, we will never despair. We need to approach every day, which could be our last, with living faith. We need to stop being Christians by label, and I'm the first. We have to begin to exercise our faith every day. Also, with humble-mindedness, I'm not going to rewrite the book of my church. My church is 2,000 years old. It has brought forth millions of saints and martyrs, and I will humbly look for the teachings of my church, and I will obey to the true shepherds of my church. Also, with prayer, daily prayer, and sacramental life of the church, and spiritual readiness. We always need to be ready because we don't know when the bridegroom will come in the middle of the night. Thank you very much.
On behalf of the Adult Bible Study Group, and on the behalf of all of you, I wish to thank Dean for being with us. You have had a wonderful effect on this group. They've been sitting here all day listening to every word, and I hope that the inspiration that we have received will prod us even more. We need to study Scripture. We need to study dogma. Learn as much as you can about your faith. Remember what our speaker said. Christians were baptized in the morning, and by night they were dead. We have so many blessings. We have so much good. We have so much potential, and we waste it with disputes, with arrogance, and we should not do that. We need to become, in Christ, one family. And I think that you have inspired us today to keep our eye on the target. I like very much what you said in response to Dr. Nicholas's question about the donation of organs. You said Christ donated his entire body for us. Do not forget that. Each of you owes your life to that blood. We're going to end with prayer, but not here in the cathedral. If you descend and go out, go into the courtyard of the cathedral, and the door on your right is open. We will have a service of small compline. I think it will be a wonderful way to end this day. And to the organizers of this retreat, thank you very much, Jean and Nick and all of you. You have done a great service for our community. We hope in the future to bring Dean back for a Greek language retreat. We have many people in our community who do not speak English well, and we'd like to give them an opportunity. And he can do it in Russian or Arabic or whatever you want. But I think it's important for us. The message of salvation comes in all languages. Please proceed to the cathedral. Yes, it was a good day.